I had a lady that worked with me at Save a Lot, and even today, on Facebook, when she sends me a note, she would say stuff like, "I remember, I can't even remember some of my sayings, but it ministers to her today." Just some of the things. Some of the things I used to say is like, "This is only for a season." And there's something you could praise the Lord about. Somebody got it worse than I do. I could thank the Lord because he woke me up this morning. Things like that I would say to her. And I remember when her husband was leaving her, I would say to her, and she was getting really, really depressed, I would say to her, "Why are you getting depressed? He's happy. He's doing what he wanted. You being depressed. You need to put your trust in God." And sometimes it's not by what I say. She said, "I remember the times you would be just singing. Not even thinking about anybody listening. I'd be just in the meat room cutting meat and singing. Singing glory and praise to the Lord." And those times a thing was producing life that I didn't even know about. Matthew chapter 18. You'll just have to bear with me. I know time is past. Matthew chapter 18. Verse 5. "Whosoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whosoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." Oh boy, that's powerful. That's powerful. You see, we always think, I already know that as a minister of God, I'm going to be judged stricter than somebody who is not a minister. I know that because what I say and how I live and what I do is going to affect people more than I can think of. I guarantee you there's people who have lost faith since Ted Haggard came out of the closet and all this big deal happened. No, was forced out of the closet. I bet you there's people, their faith was affected. I bet you there's people whose faith was affected when Jimmy Swaggart had his big deal back then. I bet you there's people's faith that has been affected. I bet you that guy who was over the land, had the land and the problem with the government, I guarantee you that people's faith was affected. What we do is important, and we need to see that. We really need to see that. Because we should not be a person who, and most of the times, we don't willingly do it. We get caught up with our emotions. We get caught up with what we want. We get caught up with our selfishness. And then we think about it and we pursue it. But the Bible tells us there is no temptation taken you, but such that is common to man. But God is faithful and just, who will give you a way of escape. And guess what? I guarantee you, every time you have committed a sin, if you sit down and reflect on it, you would say, "Oh, there was the way of escape. I just didn't take it." Listen to the type of, one of my first messages when I took over the youth group at Shalom Christian Fellowship when we were over in this was one of my messages, and I don't think I could ever forget it. And in fact, when I talked to some of the girls that was there, they haven't forget it either. For it is necessary, let's start with verse 7. Woe to the world for temptations to sin, for it is necessary that temptation come, but woe to the one by whom the temptation come. But if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands and two feet to be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eyes cause you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. Take drastic measures not to sin. It's not saying literally if you're a thief, go out and cut your hands off. That's kind of stupid, because if you're a thief and you want to steal no more, how are you going to work with no hands? What it's saying is to take drastic measures not to sin. Do what you have to do not to sin. If you know you're in a dating relationship and it's going further than it needs to go, then maybe you shouldn't meet alone together anymore. Maybe it's time every time you meet with somebody. You're taking it's not as fun because somebody is around. But guess what? You're taking drastic measures so you do not sin. Don't let your walk be hindered by somebody else. Now, we talk about how you can hinder somebody. I want to tell you today, don't let somebody else hinder your walk. I remember that if you ask George knew that Jimmy Swaggart fell before I did. But he didn't tell me. He didn't want me to know, because Jimmy Swaggart was my mentor. You know? And I had to go back to my room for something, and the radio was playing. And as I opened the door, what was on the news? Jimmy Swaggart at his fallen state and what he has done. And the first thing I do when I heard it, I fell to my knees and I said, God, if Jimmy Swaggart can fall, help me. Help me. Don't let someone else's walk affect your walk. You need to know your God for yourself. You could imagine what would have happened. Here am I at college, struggling to do what God has called me to do. And the man that I held in high esteem has fallen. You know what that could have done to my faith? But I knew who my God was. And I knew that if he was in that high esteem and in that place, it's not that my faith should be affected. Should I be crying out to God and say, God, if he can fall, I can too. I need your help. I could have used that to quit college because it was tough. To say, God, what kind of God are you to make me to believe what this man is saying? And look, how can you place a man like that in that kind of power? Have so many radio stations, and I was listening to the man before I even came to the States. In Trinidad and Tobago, I'm listening to this man. If he was coming to do a revival, I was going to be there. If you allow someone else's walk to affect your life, you do not know your God. It's time to know your God. Spend time with the Lord. Spend time praying. Spend time knowing. Let me give you a good example. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 23. And let's start at 22. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Sometimes when the enemy comes at you, so that your faith can crumble, you need to know your God so well, you could say, "Get behind me, Satan. This is not going to affect me because this is not what my God stands for. I know my God, and what he has begun in me, he is going to be able to bring it to completion." Don't let other people affect your walk. Don't let what I do affect you negatively in your walk with God. Because you have to remember, I have free will too. "There is no temptation taken me but such that is common to man. But God is faithful to give away escape, but I may rather not escape." And then you let that affect you. Thank God that when he gives escape, things I pray for too, I say, "God, help me, because I can't do it." When I look back at my life and see the things I didn't do when I had the opportunity to do them, that would be very devastating to the ministry and to ministers in a whole, and I didn't do it. I don't even see myself as the one that freely didn't do it. I see myself as God giving me the strength and the power to do it. And I keep praying up to this day, God, continue to give me that kind of strength and that type of power. Because let me tell you something. Sometimes those things and those sins and those things that easily beset you, it's powerful. But you have to make a decision that you want the way that you live your life to bring glory to the Father. I'm almost done. You should be happy. Don't let others stunt your growth in Christ. Don't let the behavior of others stunt your growth in Christ. You need to, the Bible says, "They that do hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled." You know, when I feel like my hunger is kind of gone, I say, "God, give me a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, because your Bible tells me that if I have that, I'll be filled." So if that is required for me to be filled, Lord, I want it. I want to be hungry. I want to be thirsty. I wrote the scripture down. I don't know why, but I'll have to find it. Then when I read it, I'll know why. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. So then, each of us will give account for himself to God. Guess what? It doesn't matter what somebody else do. It doesn't matter what they cause you to do, as you would say. You are going to give an account for yourself to God. They will answer for what they did. But you also is going to give an account for what you do. "Therefore, let us not pass judgment
on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put stumbling blocks or hindrance in the way of a brother. Let's pray. Father, you are calling us as a church to really make our lifestyle a lifestyle that brings glory to your name. Lord, give us a desire in our hearts to want to honor you and glorify you in all that we do. Lord, you see our past. You see the mistakes. You see the things we have done that probably brought hindrance to others. But we ask God that today that you would forgive us. Cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Purge us, and we know that we shall be clean. And Father, we ask from this day forth that you would give us the strength. Give us what is needed. Give us the knowledge. Give us the understanding. Fill us up with the Holy Spirit. Help us to walk in the Spirit so we not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So that we can walk in such a way to bring edification to others and to draw men to you. So Lord, this week, that's what we're asking. And for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may go and be blessed.